Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
How's everybody doing?
We're so glad to see you today. Welcome, everybody.
So, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Want to do our introductions?
We'll share that, Jeff. I am Jordan. This is Tova, Celia, and Adam. And we are so glad you're here on this lovely Sunday morning. Hi, everybody.
Everybody have a good weekend. Feel free to share in the comments what you guys been up to this weekend. We had a super good time. We went down to the cities and hung out with Jordan's brothers. And it was good to see family. Let us know what you guys have been up to.
And if you are watching this later and would like to fast forward the four of us stumbling over each other, you sure can.
I don't know why you don't do that. This is gold right now.
And you can watch it all on our website and online, whatever parts you would like to watch. But we are so glad you're here. So we have a few things to share with you this morning. Hi, everybody. You want to go ahead, Adam?
Yeah, so if you guys, so since we've been meeting, whoops, we're losing our kiddos. If you guys have been missing coffee and donuts from us not meeting in person, there's no need to continue to be missing out on those. You should be registering. You can either fill out the form in the comments or go to the website, because in a week or two, the donuts and coffee are coming to you. So make sure you sign up and get your Duluth coffee and your yummy donuts. And it'll be a little bit of get that feel of what it's like when we're here together.
And maybe you've already received some delicious coffee and donuts, but if you haven't, this is the way that you get it, by registering online. Next Sunday, after we meet at noon in Chester Park in Duluth, we'll have an in-person get-together in the park. So that's a great way to hang out with people, connect a little more. If you're free, we'll bring our own things to eat or drink and hang out outside. Kids can play on the playground. There's trails, places to lounge.
Yeah, we're super excited because we live four blocks from Chester Park, so we're glad that we get to walk over, and we'll show you some of our secret favorite spots. And that's back the old stomping grounds of the Sodders. They used to live right by Chester Creek too. So we'll give you the local inside view of one of our favorite spots.
Another thing, if you are interested in connecting more, maybe talking more about what we are talking about together here this morning, or you have thoughts or questions, or just like want a place to connect with community more, after our time together this morning, there is a link on Facebook and the website. It's called Gathering, where you can get together, share thoughts, questions, curiosities, really just a place for a more community to happen. So you're welcome to that. Anyone's welcome. And it's available every Sunday after we meet together like this. And lastly, we are people who are longing to and making choices to be shaped into generous people. We want to be a people of generosity in every way, with our stuff, our hearts, the ways that we show up with each other. And it's an important deal as people who follow Jesus that we would learn to be generous with our whole lives. And so I actually, we invite you, of course, to be generous in this community, supporting each other, supporting what we're up to. You can go on the website and actually do that with our money and support this place and what we're doing. And also we want to provide a way to grow that in our hearts even right now. So if you want to join with me, I'm going to pray a generosity prayer, and we can kind of let that just like marinate in our hearts together. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We bring nothing into this world and take nothing out of it. We who call Jesus Lord devote ourselves in resisting greed, which plunges the human heart into ruin and pierces it with many griefs. We are determined to practice generosity with free hearts, fixing our hope on God and not the uncertainty of wealth. We desire to be rich in good deeds, willing to share all that we have, laying up for ourselves treasure that will not decay, but will shine in the age to come. Amen. Now I would like to welcome Sarah. They're going to lead us in worship, and we will get to be together. Thank you so much, guys.
Again, wherever may. God, we trust you in all the unknown of right now and every area of our lives. And when it can be easy to get lost in doubt and fear, we just say that we trust you and we know that you are good. God, would you help us to see your goodness today and in every area of our lives? Would we see that you are good? Amen. Hey, thanks for worshiping with me. I'm going to welcome Chris. He's taller than me, so.
Yes.
It's just going to like slowly zoom in.
It's going to be like a mountain of fun. You're welcome.
Of fun?
That's, I usually use that to describe. I describe myself. Thank you for doing worship. Thank you for the Sunbergs for coming and making this place less lonely. I had Sammy Aiken is watching.
Oh, all the way,
Sammy!
Sammy!
Jordan got really excited, Sammy. Just want to let you know. So,
and a Dean.
And the what?
And a Dean.
And a Dean, yeah. I just said, and he digs. I'm like, yeah, he digs. All right. Some of you have asked about Nikki. Nikki is on her sabbatical all the way through October, and she is doing very well, taking a lot of time to rest and read. A little shout out to Diana Osterreich. She's a friend of ours, has been part of our church for a while, and she just wrote a book that came out called Waging,
yeah.
Waging Peace. Waging Peace. And I read a couple of chapters. It's very good. So, we are continuing our series called God. It's a creative name called God Part 2. That's the second one. That's today. And the series is, Rob Bell wrote a book called What Do We Talk About When We Talk About God? And that book inspired this series of, like, we use that word God, and we all think and picture and experience and feel different things in association to that word. But the divine is so much bigger and so much wider, so much more beautiful and good than we could put any label to it. So I thought we'd take some time to talk about God. And where we start is with jazz. About a year ago, did you go to the Fab Plus concert at the Red Herring?
Mm-hmm.
The Red Herring? Yeah. So me and my friend Wade, we went to that show. Fab Plus is one of my favorite, is my favorite jazz band. And they play music, or they play the style of jazz that my kids call it weird jazz. The description they use is weird jazz because it's more experimental and it's inspiring. I love it. And the first time I saw them was at Sacred Heart Music Festival, which is like this big, gorgeous sanctuary. It's an old church, but it's so big. And the one at the Red Herring is really, really small. And have you ever been to like going to a party, going to an event or a concert where even before you show up, you can feel like that electricity, you can feel that sense of anticipation? Me and my buddy, way before the show, were grabbing a drink, and the piano player, or the pianist, who was brand new, was sitting there having a drink, and I started geeking out. I'm like, do I go up and like, do I order a drink from here and tell the server, like, point to me, and then I can point to him, and we can have this connection? Do I walk up and like give him a like a behind hug? I did none of that, but I thought about it because I really, really enjoy the music. And somehow got front row seats, which is not a big deal in that small of a place. But it was, I felt like I was connected to something larger than myself, of being able to see how he could play one piece on the piano with his right hand and something completely different on the left. And then the bass player would play most of the music with his eyes closed. And then watching the drummer like work so hard to make something sound so simple, right? Like how much effort he had to put in to make something sound so good, but not so incredibly loud. It was so inspiring, which leads us to, when I was 15, I met this girl named Nikki, and we spent one entire day in the field by my parents' house, and not doing what people associate a 15-year-old doing in the field. We literally just laid down, separate from one another, right, and looked at the clouds, and we laughed, and we giggled, and we were quiet, which then, of course, leads me to a couple days ago, my daughter woke me up at 6:30 in the morning, about this far away from my face, and tapped on my forehead, where I screamed. because I thought someone was trying to stab me on my forehead. And all of these are beautiful, and all of these have this life force, because it was moving me to something more than just the present moment. It was being a part of a concert, being part of a collective group of people, being inspired and moving us that led us to something else. Of laying in a field and the beauty of being with a beautiful woman, my best friend, of just doing something simple. And having the love of my life, my daughter, still willing to come in and tap me on the forehead, right? There's gonna come a day when she does not do that anymore to say, Papa, can I watch TV, right? Because if this world is just a series of events, if this world is just, we're just particles, we're just dust, we're just flesh and bones, those experiences communicate to me that this world matters, that this body, this life, it matters. And there is something that connects us. And that something, right, is this word, the Hebrew people use the word, I have to pronounce it, ruach, right? Ruach. I don't know if they like do the rrr, but I did there. So, but they use the word as that was the energy, life force that came from God. It was what connected all of us together. It's what brought meaning. It's what brought purpose. It's the reason why we exist. Not the reason why we exist, but it brings purpose to why we exist. And it's everywhere, and it's in all things. Even in Psalm 139, they talk about it. I should already have this, right? It says this: Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You'd already be there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. So this idea of anywhere we go, everywhere we go, night, dark, high, low, past, present, that ruach, that spirit, that divine, that life force, that energy, that deep transformative love, it exists. It's already there. And this accessibility, this availability to God, we see in the life of Jesus. Because remember, we have a Jesus-looking God. And the accessibility of Jesus is actually astonishing, because he'd stop and invite himself over to people and trees, that people would drop from the ceiling to be near him. Thousands of people would follow him, not just to hear the words or see the miracles, but because this God fed them. That people in a crowd would reach out and grab his clothes because they believed they could transform their life. People, crazy people, would run up to him in chains and scream his name and fall down and worship on their knees. right? People would get out of a boat to stand on water, do the impossible just because he invited them. The people did crazy things. He went from party to party, from table to table, that people would give him the reputation of him being a drunk. And what did he do? Go to another party. See, why is this sacred? Why is this holy? Why is this good? Because it communicates that there's a God who is with us. Not somewhere else, not some guru on a mountain, not some series of tests we have to go through so that we can earn that love, we can earn that title, we can earn that conversation. The accessibility of Jesus shows that accessibility of God, that this God is in all things, and everywhere we go, that rock is available. And like, if you think about it, this isn't what important people or people with power, let alone gods, do. Like, do you remember, we were taught this at an early age. In junior high, you'd go and sit down at the table, right? And push your glasses up and be like, oh, I really like chocolate milk. And then Joe Bag of Donuts be like, hey, Chris, you don't belong here, right? You have goofy, curly hair, right? And you have freckles. Not reliving my trauma from my junior high. I couldn't be there because I wasn't important enough. People of power, people of influence surround themselves with other beautiful people. I went to this church, I don't know, 20 years ago. It was a larger church. And the pastor came out with, like, on the last worship song, like a minute left, he came out and there was a spot reserved for him, and he had three armed guards, found out that they were packing heat. And they walked with him from the door, from the back of the church, walked like, I don't know, 100 feet, sat down, and he did his like raise of hands and was, you know, pointing at people and got up and did his thing. His message was great. He prayed, he got done, walked off, shook a few hands, and walked back to the back of the church with his armed guards. Why? Because that's what important, beautiful people with power do. They limit their exposure. Like we feel like we get to know Brad Pitt, or we get to know these famous celebrities because on Instagram they're like wearing sweatpants. Like, I wear sweatpants just like him, all right? Or they cook and they have to like, they have coffee on their shirt. Ooh, we're best friends. Like any imitation of what could perceive to be real life, like we feel connected to that person. And we look at the accessibility of Jesus, right? It was crazy. Which leads us to why my wife calls babies food names, right? It'll make sense. When we found out when we were pregnant, right? We found out Nikki was going to have a baby. First, we cried for like 20 minutes because we thought we were gonna travel the world for like 7 years, and I don't know how we're gonna make money, but like when you're young and stupid, that's what you think. So we're like, oh no, we don't get to travel. Then we realized that we're having a baby. Fell in love with this baby right away. We call the baby Death Star. And every one of our kids in Yurdo had their own personalities. Kira was a squirmy, wormy. Max, we were at a meeting, and the person talking says, you know, there's some of your kids are gonna be world changers. And when he said that, Max started just like moving all around. And that's the prayer we've had for Max, is that he's gonna be a world changer. And like, you love your kid, and then when you see them, right? As much as you can love a stranger. And I looked in my kids' eyes for the very first time. It was like a whole new world opened up to me of love. There was like this side door in my world of love that opened up, and there was this whole new field that we could run in with every single kid. And it's a miracle. It moves you. When people meet their kids for the first time, they say it takes you out of this world. You elevate to a higher way of being, a higher way of loving. You do the same thing when you meet your friend's baby or your sister's baby, and you pick them up and they're like, you're so little. And you take the little hand and you put it in your hand, like, oh, big giant hand mine is. What my wife does is she'll pick up a baby and she'll call him a burrito because usually wrapped up. And then she'll use the line from Where the Wild Things Are, where they say, oh, please don't go. We'll eat you up. We love you so. So Nikki will say, I could just eat you up. You're so beautiful, which I enjoy because I get to look at the parents. And like, is she joking? That little sense of like fear, right? And why do we do this when we see a kitten? Why do we do this in talking baby voices to like a small little puppy? Because we see the newness of that thing. We see new life, and we love new life. We love the idea. That's why we love love stories, right? I am a sucker for love. My every time we watch any kind of movie has like a love element, I'll stop and I'm usually tearing up. I'm like, I love love. I said that yesterday to Kira, and she goes, I know, Dad, get over it. Right? We love reading memoirs or hearing stories of people who overcome addiction because they have this whole new life, this whole transformation to a new way of being. We love seeing sports teams or athletes overcome some obstacles so that they can have a new season. They can, like the Timberwolves are going to win the NBA championship next year. Nailed it. So it's going to happen. We love new life because we are created for new life. And when there's a God with us, when there's that ruach, that energy, it invites you to something more. It tells you, it reminds you that this world has purpose. Because if God is everywhere, then we can be inspired. We can experience new life everywhere we go. It's not something, life is not just something to be tolerated. Life is not just something to be fixed. Like regardless, you could say, well, our life is just like this holding pattern where we're supposed to figure out and work out our salvation, where we're gonna work out our sin so that we can someday, at some point, go somewhere else, right? And you can take the other way of saying, this life is just a series of events. There is nothing else. This is all we can experience, which is two valid ways of viewing the world. But for me, I would say, well, then on both ends, that we'd be missing out. Because if this God is here, if this energy, this love is in everything, then every single place we go is a place of inspiration. It points that this world matters, that like this life deeply matters. So like I think of my buddy Nick Hansen. When we were 24, he lived on 21st Avenue East in Duluth, and I lived on London Road in 15th, and we became friends, and we started discussing like, hey, maybe we should start like running, because that just sounded like something we should do. And Nick's like, hey, let's go running together. And we talk about it often. He had to come down 21st, and I was coming on London Road, and I still remember looking up and seeing Nick with his crazy hair, and I was wearing my tie-dye shirt, and he had a bandana, and Nick runs like this always. His head goes like, most people do this. He's always side to side. And we saw each other, and we instantly started giggling. So we're laughing when we ran because we realized we're two grown men who are meeting on a corner just to go for a run. And for whatever reason, it was like, well, that's not what men do. That's not what guys do. And we ran and we giggled and we laughed. And I'm pretty sure it was the last time we ran. But it's like this. If it's just an isolated series of events, then that would just be a place where we worked on our physical fitness and we had a good time and that's all it was. But if it leads us to something more, in those moments, we can be inspired, we can grow, we can experience a depth of that love, of that energy. It might mean to point us that this is what friends do, that Nick and I have been friends for almost 2 decades, that we can show up as men, we can show up as friends, we can show up in one another's life and we can giggle. We can show up when it's hard, we can show up when it's amazing, and we can show up when it feels like our friendship might be stagnant, but we still show up. It's like it's like going to a funeral of someone that a friend of yours loses someone they loved. And as someone who loves, like what we do as friends is that we want to rescue them from that pain. And as you're filling out that card, you're trying to think of the perfect thing to write, like the joke that wouldn't be too funny, but a funny appropriate for a funeral. Or maybe you're gonna make like their favorite casserole and you're like, okay, I have to make it like the first time we had this casserole 15 years ago. Or you're like the fourth person in line and you're gonna see them and they're crying and you're gonna have to hug them and you're like reciting, okay, what's the thing that will alleviate them from this pain? Because we want to rescue our friends. We wanna rescue the people we love from that pain because we think it might be something we can solve. It might be something that we can fix. And anyone who has walked through this kind of grief, right? Because once you, like I could tell you this, but until you experience it, you can't fully know it. But once you know it, you'll never forget it. That the most holy thing you can do, there's not a perfect thing to rescue them. The most holy thing you can do is just be with them. In the same way that God is with us doesn't mean God is with us when we have like the perfect date, or we have the perfect experience, or we feel like we are worthy enough. It's in that grief, it's in that pain. It's not just in the high places, it's in the dark places and the boring places that this God is with us. And when we can participate in that energy, we can participate in that kind of love, we can grow. And when we can grow, when we see this kind of energy, we can see God in this way, then we can be inspired to inspire others, right? When we surrender to this kind of love, then, and we believe that God is accessible and available everywhere, then we can be inspired by all things at all times. Not just in a service, not just in a book. It could be like three stories I thought of this. Oh, I gotta leave these down. Oh, the first one is this. Recently, I've been inspired by my friend Anna and her sauces. Like, her sauces are amazing. And it was, I don't know, it was like 3 weeks ago we went over there and she was making the sauce. And I'm like, well, what are you gonna put in it? And she's like, I don't know. And she just like grabbed random things and she grabbed oils I never heard of. She grabbed some peanuts, she grabbed some herbs, and she just like and started mixing it together. And it was the most amazing sauce I've ever tasted. And I just watch her just kind of make it up as she goes along. And it inspired me, right? Inspired me to like, well, why don't I ever try mixing those things to that? Because somewhere in my fixed world, in my mind says, well, you don't do that. You follow the recipe exactly in order because that's just what like great chefs do. That's what people who cook do. And Anna just kind of makes up things on the fly and it works. And it inspired me more than just like making sauces. It actually made me think when I was making my own sauce of like, what other things do I just believe in a fixed world? What other things do I just say, well, you'll always have to do this when you do this because that's what the right thing to do is. That's what healthy people do. Like Anna's sauce taught me something. Or it was listening to my wife play the piano. She'll randomly at night when we're all in bed, she'll start playing the piano. And it's some of the most beautiful music I can listen to because she has like she doesn't play the same music, and I'm not an artiste, but she has like the same like style. She has like the same, I don't know, what is the word? Rhythm, the same. Sarah's like, stop asking me questions.
I just don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she has like a similar melody, a similar sound. And it's very, very comforting to me. And it inspires me when I'm sitting there listening to it that I can appreciate just like the simpleness. I can appreciate the just pausing and resting and taking in something lovely. Just last Sunday, we did that follow-up call, which we're gonna do after again, if you wanna join us. And a new friend, we were talking about the word Christian and how, is that easy for you to say or identify, or is that difficult? And people share their stories of how they love the divine and they love Jesus and they love the church, but that word is difficult for them because of what people have used that word to bring injustice or to exclude people. And we're having this conversation, and my new friend, they said, and they were the last one to talk, and they said, I feel as a white person responsible to continue to use the word and identify as a Christian because of what the white church has done to people of color, what white people have done to the queer community, what people have done in the name of God, in the name of the term Christian, to use to exclude and oppress other people. So I feel it's my responsibility to stay in and stay engaged, to help redeem, to help bring back the fullness of that word. And like they were talking, and I'm like, I wasn't ready for that. It inspired me after that. I took many days to like pray and meditate and think, how easy is it for me as a white male, and white people do this all the time, we'll take a word, we'll take a culture, we'll take something, and it's like a coat, we'll put it on, and we're like, this feels great, this is really good. But as soon as it doesn't work for us anymore, as soon as we feel uncomfortable, as soon as we experience some sort of pain or like some sort of tension, it's easy as white people just to take that coat off and hang it up and grab something else and call it something else and create a new culture, because we can do that. That's especially white men. This is what we can do, while other people who don't have the same lived experience as me don't have the same freedom to do that. And my friend, through that word responsible, inspired me to something new, to go back and see, where have I just like code switched? Where have I just like just hung up something and took something else and called it my own, instead of staying in it with people? I love that. See, we can inspire people. If God is with us, if this energy is with us, and it says that this world matters, it means your lasagna matters. It means that your graphic design matters. The way that you practice medicine matters. The way you ask questions matters. The way that you welcome people onto your deck in COVID, it matters. It points that there is a God that is with us. And we can learn from one another. We can inspire one another if we're willing to surrender to this kind of love. I talked with another friend, and this is where I end. And we're discussing as like, how can we as Neighborhood Church continue to have influence and impact and do what we talk about, helping people connect with a God that is not somewhere else, but a God that is with us. And they were talking about how we have to let that love transform us and go deep, deep down within us before it can go out. And they shared their story of how they spent a lot of their life like helping others experience that kind of love, but very difficult for themselves to experience that love because they didn't feel like they were worthy. They didn't feel like they had the option. They didn't have the opportunity because for whatever reason, just felt like that was closed off to me. But actively worked to help other people, and it was one, they believed that they were worth that kind of love, that they could receive that kind of love, that's where transformation begins. But you have to receive it. This could just be a great, inspiring talk to make us feel good, but if we never like pause and realize and see that this God is with us, this God is already within, and we acknowledge it and we surrender to it. And here's the mystical thing, how do you do that? Like, how do you surrender to a love? How do you like allow yourself, give yourself to this kind of, to the divine? Like, how do you receive a compliment? How do you receive forgiveness? How do you receive love from your partner? How do you receive love even for yourself, right? That's the mystical thing. That is between you and the divine. For me, it's like the sun coming up and it pours over me and I recognize it and I see it and I receive it. And I have to do this often, of surrendering to this love, because when I do that, like those roots go down deep, and the further those roots go down in love, then I have no option for the result to come out of my life is that same kind of love. So friends, God is with you. And imagine that there's several of us who can identify that, of feeling, I just don't feel like I'm worthy of that love. Yes, God might be with us, God might be near us, but God doesn't see me. Or I don't feel like I'm worthy of being loved. I'm gonna pray here in a little bit. And I'm gonna encourage you, if that's you, just to pray with me. Because there is a God who is with us. And if that is true, then not only does this world matter, but you matter as well. Let's pray. So God, we welcome you. And I thank you for that ruach. Thank you for that love, that energy, that life force. And like it's Psalm 139 says, night or day, there is no difference. God can still see me. That there's nothing that can hide me from God, and there's nothing that can hide God from me. And I thank you for the radical availability of the divine and your presence. In the same way people would reach out to grab Jesus, they would move to his table, they'd move to that party. God, we move and recognize that you are here, that you are within, and we receive you. We take you in. In the same way that we can receive the light from the sun, we now surrender to that love. And I pray that you would inspire us to continue to experience new things, that there's new ways to experience joy, to experience grief, to process pain, to experience friendship, to experience our partners, our kids, our work, and that we'll continually grow and be and do new things because you are with us. So we love you, God. Amen. All right, friends. So we're going to do another song. All right. Sarah's going to do another song. And if you'd like to join us for the follow-up, when we close off, it'll be a couple minutes. You can get the Zoom link on our website. Thank you, friends.
I didn't tell Bree this song. So this song is When You Learn by the Avett Brothers.
There is no mountain you can climb high enough to see past the fact you climbed it all.
you, friends. We'll see you at the follow-up.
Thank you.